Support for IPR comes from Orchestra Iowa, presenting the movie E.T., the extraterrestrial on the big screen, accompanied by the Symphony Orchestra performing the score live, May 3rd and 4th at 7:30 at the Paramount. Tickets at orchestraiowa.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Concrete is coming up in the world. This hour, we'll talk about some of the beautiful and functional uses for different kinds of concrete treatments. And later in the hour, of course, we will answer your questions. You can email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, Charity.
And you have been singing the praises of polished concrete, stained concrete, for a long time.
Right. Yes.
And that kind of treatment just seems to keep getting better and better.
It's funny. When I was talking with you the other day, I was up in northern Minnesota going to our favorite restaurant, the Rustic Inn at Castle Danger on North Shore. And I was walking at this new deck they put on. I'm looking at the deck, and I look down, and the wood it looked like a wood timber finish with huge nails in it, you know, and I said, man, I can't believe
like
they got
these.
Deck
of a ship or something
that's what it looked like. Pulled it off the shipwreck out in the Apostle Islands Lakeshore, you know, when nobody was looking. And the stain job that they did and the stamping job that they did, you know, if you really didn't know that it was concrete, because I looked at the edges, okay, well, it isn't. It's just amazing what.
Did you get down on your hands and knees?
No, I didn't. Well, that's a whole nother. That's going to take me 20 minutes to get back up, and Donna's not going to pull me up. She'll let me, you know, roll around the floor to get some attention. Now, and the talent level of the people that are doing this now, it's just scary. The stains and the stamps and the techniques and the imagination, because when stamp concrete used to come out, they'd have a couple. When they pour the concrete, they'll throw kind of a stain down, and you know, they throw this powder up. Nobody really knew what they were doing. And then we'd put down this releasing agent, and then you'd put the patterns on it. And we had like maybe two or three of these rubber mats, and you'd walk on it or roll on it. You know, really no training there. You'd just watch a YouTube video for about 5 minutes. And it didn't turn out too bad. But now with the types of training, I think that's the biggest thing. And there's so many people getting into it, so many companies that have the type of patterns that you want. I mean, it's not before it used to, okay, you want it to look like brick or stone. That was about the limit. But when I was walking on this, I said, okay, they've really reached a level now where, I really like pavers. And pavers are, you know, probably better in a lot of conditions, especially if, there's heaving or things going on like that. Mm-hmm. But when it looked for the entry of this restaurant, it just really stepped it up a notch because it looked so real. And they didn't put a high gloss finish on it. I mean, it actually looked like weathered wood.
Wow. And so, okay, for people who maybe haven't seen this or have seen it, but they didn't know what they were looking at, because a lot of people probably thought they were walking on a boardwalk.
Oh, yeah.
So when we talk about stamped concrete, we're talking about poured concrete, but then patterns stamped mm-hmm. into it. And I was looking through photos online yesterday of different stamped concrete projects, and you just described one, but there are patios that people put in with, and it looks like there are pavers. You would never know unless you did get down on your hands and knees and actually study it.
You would not know. And because it's come from what, like the first time it came out, like when you wanted to make it look like pavers, you'd had like almost like a lawn roller, and they'd weld on some steel on it to make it. And like when you roll it across the concrete, it just kind of pushed these little indentations into it, and it just didn't make it. I mean, somebody knew right away, okay, you know, they overlapped because they only had one length of a roller. Look, you know, it didn't turn out the best. But now, yeah, if you see a picture online on Pinterest or something like that, you know, these professionals, they can duplicate it, because the first time that I saw stained concrete, I mean, a really nice stained concrete, and then they put an epoxy coating across top of it, It looked like that epoxy, I swear, was like 2 inches thick. Mm. So in the case when I was younger, I did get down on my hands and knees because I'm looking at it like, holy smokes, you know, this thing, it's only, you know, just minimum thickness, but it looks so deep. And they did an acid stain on it, and then it just kind of takes on, concrete makes it take on a whole character because in the concrete, it's not just going to be a solid color. Like, that's what's cool about like acid etching concrete is when they acid it, it takes on a whole different character, and you'll see mottled areas and you'll see dark, and then people will come in and they'll use different types of stains along with, you know, they put like rivers and that's where the artist comes out in a lot of these people. But it makes it so you just don't have that doggone gray concrete floor, or throw a cheap sealer over the top and it's glossy for, you know, 10, 15 minutes. And it just has opened up a whole new arena.
So, and when thinking about maybe a stamped concrete patio as opposed to a paver patio, I can think about the fact that I don't have to pull the weeds out from in between the pavers. Yeah. A concrete slab is going to keep that from happening. But tell me what some of, let's talk pros first.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, creativity allows you to do a lot of things that you couldn't do before. So we've talked about that. But just functionality, is this less expensive than the other kinds of materials that we would need to buy?
You know, before all this happens with inflation and things like that, concrete prices have gone nuts, of course. Sand has gone and gravel have gone crazy. I was with a friend down in northern Arkansas just a little while ago. We're doing this great big thing he's got. And I'm running this skid loader, and the truck backs up, and he backs up and drops a little bit, you know, load of rock. And here in Iowa, I'm thinking, well, this isn't going to be too bad. It was over $1,000 just for some fill rock. And got $3,000 wrapped up in this thing before we even think about pavers or concrete. It really depends now on what type of, let's say, pavers. I mean, you can buy the cheapest pavers you can think of, and they're basically concrete. You know, you can buy them at big box stores and that. And the thing is, pavers actually can hold more. But that's nice. They can hold more than the concrete, but it depends on what's underneath it. You know, if you don't do a good job of, you know, putting rock down, sand down, and good drainage, you know, you step on it in a wet time of the year, and they're going to go down. I really like pavers myself because of frost. If it goes up and down, you know, if some water damage or something happens, you can replace them, and concrete cracks, but yet there's hardly any maintenance on the concrete, or there really isn't on the pavers as much if it's done correctly. Except the thing is, you know, I always poo-pooed the, you know, what do you know, not put that, you know, expensive stuff in between the bricks. You know, I was just rake some old sand in there. And then I was fighting the weeds too.
Right.
If you use the proper stuff, you're not fighting the weeds, you know. But I always did because, you know, take the weed eater to it and they're gone. But, you know, actually now I think if you're going to do it yourself, do the pavers.
Okay.
But if you want it done, you know, go with the stamped concrete now because it is neat. You're kind of limited on colors a lot of times
on pavers.
They've come out with some really cool ones now, but you know, if you're a real creative person, and let's say you're a fan of let's say the Green Bay Packers, if you want a Green Bay Packer patio, they can do that for you. So,
not pushing a particular
team, though.
That's exactly what I want, Bill.
Yes.
So, okay. So, it's not necessarily more cost effective, but the creativity that you can use in designing something gives you new freedoms. How about upkeep?
Well, you know, upkeep, the thing is, the pavers, there's really no upkeep to it. Unless you have some soil movement. Other than that, you're fine. Now, concrete, you know, there is, you're going to have to, depending on the level that you paid for, I mean, the level of detail, level of finish that you paid for, you may have to put a sealer on there every year, every other year, which isn't a big deal. The one thing that is kind of nice, though, with the concrete is if you have you want to use a pressure washer, you don't get anywhere near real, you know, with the real intense spray. You hold it back a little bit or use your garden sprayer. That's all there is to it. And sometimes people get a little, you know, maybe a little rammy when it comes to the pavers, and then they start washing out the sand in between, and then it goes down and causes some issues. But it all comes back to, you know, it's kind of like that curb appearance kind of thing in the front when you first drive up. People look out the window and they see this beautiful stamped concrete. It's gorgeous. Some of the stains and the dyes that, you know, you can order a truck, let's say, and I'll give you a personal experience. We wanted to pour this part of a slab on a house when we were at Iowa Central. And so I look at the colors, and this is what I want. And so I call the company, and they come out, they dump it, and then I find out, okay, it costs quite a bit to put the powder in the mix. Then they have to wash the inside of the truck when they're done, because you don't want that concrete going some guy pouring a sidewalk, you know, and all of a sudden he's got this pink sidewalk. And that's what happened. It was supposed to be kind of a dark brown. When the sun came out, here it is, I got a pink slab, and because somebody didn't put the right amount in, and we end up putting tile over the top of it. And after I paid extra to have that in, I read that when they acid stain it, I think it looks the best.
All right. So you know, this is just yet another tool in your.
And the nice thing with the acid stain, if you've been there 20 years, you can do it now. I mean, that's the nice thing about it, and it's permanent. You know, it's not like a paint, because I coated my garage and I put down, you know, I bought the cheap stuff. I rolled it on, threw the little flakes on there, and I swear I go in there now, I can't find a spot in the garage where there's still some of it left. I mean, and I probably didn't do a good enough prep job. I just want to hurry up and get it done.
Okay, but you can, so you're saying you can rehab old concrete and make it beautiful now.
That's the thing about the stains and the acids, is you can make it look, do it now.
All right. Well, we are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We have been talking about the beautiful, creative, functional things you can do with concrete. But of course, Bill is also here to answer your questions.
No wallpaper today. No.
Okay. About any of the home improvement projects in your life, even if it's wallpaper.
Ooh.
You can give us a call, 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa from IPR News.
Support for IPR comes from Orchestra Iowa, presenting the movie E.T., the extraterrestrial on the big screen, accompanied by the Symphony Orchestra performing the score live, May 3rd and 4th at 7:30 at the Paramount. Tickets at orchestraiowa.com. Support for IPR comes from Orchestra Iowa, presenting the movie E.T., the extraterrestrial on the big screen, accompanied by the Symphony Orchestra performing the score live, May 3rd and 4th at 7:30 at the Paramount. Tickets at orchestraiowa.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. He is ready and willing to answer your questions. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100, or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we've been talking about concrete. We, of course, will talk about anything you want to talk about, but we already have a bunch of questions about concrete,
uh-oh,
Bill. So let's start with this question from Pamela. Can I stain the 40-year-old cement in my basement?
Yes. Yeah, and now, and what I would do, though, is that's a case where I would get, you know, a professional involved in it, because you're looking in a basement in a closed space, for one thing. And so you don't want to be messing with any chemicals in an enclosed space like that. And so, and in many cases, you know, you'll see on the directions that they want to clean the concrete real well. And so then they'll say, well, you can use muriatic acid, which, you know, that's and you can. I mean, you can dilute it down, but there's a lot of issues when you start working with acids and what they may come in contact with. But if you want a really good job, let's say you want to finish your floor with like an epoxy sometimes, The best way to do it actually is to grind the concrete rather than to acid etch it, because it takes it down farther. There's different levels of, let's say, aggressive surface when they grind or sand, and you want to get it more than what acid does, so that the topping or the coating or any kind of sealer that you put over the top actually gets integrated into the concrete and binds to it, rather than just lays on top of it like a cheap paint, which will eventually flake. It also helps. Sometimes you might have some stains, and you don't want that transferring through and maybe causing kind of a oil panning where it kind of pops up, you know, and then it eventually comes off. So those are the cases when it's, especially in a basement, that's a case where you do want to get a professional. You, like when you're dealing with epoxies, things like that, you know, some of them are very low odor. Some of them will just knock you on your back, you know, because they're just horrible. And that, you know, anytime, like, that's the last thing we want to have you do. But, you know, there's so many design professionals now. And I notice, I don't know if you notice it too, when you start looking, you know, you start looking all this information up, and then all of a sudden when you're looking at your news feeds, every other pop-up ad is about, you know, all of a sudden I've got, yep, all I've got on my phone now is all these different floor finishes and,
yep,
things.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what my feed will be like for the next couple of weeks, and I'm not even refurnishing anything. So Pamela has a follow-up question, too. She also wants to know if stamped concrete or treated concrete holds up to cars parking on it in garages.
Yes. Yes, it does. Now, that's something you'd want to integrate, you know, if you're building new.
Okay.
You know, because you'll have to, when you stamp it, you'll be doing it at the new session. But there's at the different levels, like in your garage, you see on TV the people that come out and they show you actually that they're, you know, refinishing your garage floor and they're grinding and everything. The material that they use, that's a professional commercial, basically, you know, it's, for me, I always look at it as really a high-test commercial epoxy, basically. There's a lot of chemical names for it and things. But that one is going to last you. When these people come in there and they grind this thing and they spend all the time to get it, that one's going to last. Of course, it's going to be expensive. You know, it will be expensive. It'll be thousands of dollars. But it's going to last. Like I said earlier, you know, the one that I did, you know, I bought the one back then. It was like, you know, $100 a gallon. So I used $300 worth of stuff, and it lasted me maybe 3 years, 4 years, because I don't think I did the prep right. That's my fault, you know. So there's other things you can do though in that garage. Is if you don't want to go to that level, you can buy the do-it-yourself kits. A friend of mine just put down the epoxy that says it's three times better than everybody else's. And his actually, he's more of these, you know, read the directions, kind of get it perfect kind of guy. And so he prepped it very good. And boy, it looks like the ones that did the commercial.
Wow.
His hand's a little shaky, so the stuff you throw on the top wasn't quite even. That's the only critical thing I'm going to say. I hope he hears this. It's not perfect, but anyway, it's going to hold up. I bet you that's going to hold up 15 years under,
nice,
you know. But it, you know, the other thing, though, is when you have it, like a commercial person come in and do it, that stuff is so tough, you drop things and doesn't chip it. Or if you're going to do any mechanical work in there, you know, that's the other thing.
So. All right. Let's get to the phones. The number to call, 866-780-9100. You can also email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Steve is on the line somewhere near Ames. Hello, Steve.
Oh, hi.
Hi. What's your question?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I'm in a car near Ames, but my question is more like a comment. We have a small stamped concrete patio at home in Ankeny, and one thing we didn't realize was that after it set, the concrete contractor had to come back, and as they do with flat slabs of concrete, they saw cut expansion joints in it, just the width of a saw blade, but nevertheless, they weren't terribly careful about following the pattern of the blocks in the concrete. So I thought maybe you might want to just comment on that and kind of caution people to make sure that it's carefully watched where they do the saw cutting, because regardless of the pattern, the saw cut is straight. And
right.
It kind of goes across.
Yeah. You know, Steve, that's a really good idea to bring up during that planning stage when you talk to them about that, because, you know, a lot of times they will, depending on the size of the slab, you know, let's say they do either, you've got a slab and it does, maybe they cut it every 6 foot in squares or every 10 foot in squares, whatever they come up with, is in the pre-planning, you know, say, hey, you know, I want my pattern to follow where your saw cuts are going to be. I just don't, because, yeah, you pay all this money and you get this really good looking pattern and some bozo comes along here and just cuts right through it and ruins it. I mean, because, you know, the thing is, that's what your eyes look at now all the time, isn't it? I mean, it just, you look at that and you go, what, you know, what was it thinking? So, that's a really good point to bring up in the planning stage. So I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Steve.
And no amount of caulking or coloring in that crack is going to help, because you're going to constantly see that now. I mean, it's just one of those things.
Right. Mark is on the line next in Iowa City. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Hey,
hi,
Mark.
What's your question?
When we built our house 12 years ago, we had concrete kitchen counters put in, with which we're very happy. They were stained black. I think it was mixed into the concrete. But they've become a little discolored. Any acid that gets on it, like a tomato or something, tends to lighten the color a little bit. Or the top of a Tabasco, the cap of a Tabasco bottle, those sorts of things. And it seems to be stained in a manner that we have been unable to get out. I wonder how you bring them back. Mm.
You know, that's a good question. It's funny, I never thought about that, of the acids in the foods. You know, I would. There's so many companies out there that I'm thinking Quikrete and Sacrete, they both make countertop mix now. And I think I would call either one of those two companies, and they probably, the answers are online. I'm sure somebody else has run into it. You know, it may require grinding it down and just staining it now, restaining it. But I don't know how deep or what was on the concrete, if they put a sealer on, if they, maybe the builder didn't say anything about it, you know, say, hey, every couple of years you got to do this for maintenance. You know, I think I would get a hold of those, either Sacrete or Quikrete, at their countertop mix site, and they should be able to help you on that. But that's happens sometimes with like say soapstone too. Of course, then you just call it kind of character, but on concrete, that might go down in there a ways. So you may have to even restain the whole top and then put a new sealer on there. But I would get a hold of either Quikrete or Sacrete, and it's Sacrete, is Sacrete. You looked at, you couldn't believe I was able to spell that, could you? Look at that.
I'm so impressed. Yes. Mark, thanks a lot for the call. I hope that helps. And I guess that's a good point about upkeep.
Yeah.
You over know, time.
There's so much acid in a lot of those foods, and the concrete would take it. Where like granite and that, they wouldn't take it because of their density.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is.
You can give us a call with your question at 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today, and he will answer any questions. They do not have to be concrete related, but we've got more concrete questions right now, so we'll do another one. You can also email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Barb in Ames asks, I've been wanting to do concrete pavers and stepping stones and wanted to pour them directly into the ground, but I can't find any information on it. Do I need to put down a gravel or crushed rock base and then sand before I pour the concrete? And how deep does that pad need to be?
Yes. The depth of the pad kind of depends on what soil you have. If you go online and look up patio paver, just go patio paver installation, and you'll see all kinds of ideas. Now, you've got to remember that when we pull up anything online, it's climate specific and it's site specific. So, you know, you may have expansive soils, you may have a real wet area, you might have something that's underground that may affect you. So there's a lot of things in this decision-making process. But normally, you know, you put down, let's say, 4 inches of clean rock, like clean limestone or clean river rock, like pea rock, usually like half inch. And then this is just what that I've been experienced with. There's a lot of, there's hundreds of different ways to do this. And then, you know, put down about an inch of clean sand, like masonry sand, and you just level that off and set your pavers down. And then you put the special sand, we'll call it that secret sand, that goes in between the pavers to keep the weeds down. And it actually, when it gets wet, it holds them into place. The last paver, I did the 18-inch concrete pavers. I think that was like 16 by 16 foot. I ended up putting about 2 feet of rock in an area because it was on a sloped area. Ran a plate packer over it, which is a very good thing to do because your soil, if you run a plate packer, you can rent those in hardware stores or big box stores, rental places. Pack that rock, and technically, you know, you can't pack rock, but what you're doing is you're integrating the rocks in together with each other and then kind of pushing it into the ground because I have no idea what your soil is like that. But it gives you a really good level surface to put the sand on the top. Now, what worked really good for me is once you get the rock all leveled, is to put down, you know, an inch thick pipe or an inch and a half thick pipe. And then when you put your sand down, you know how deep to put the sand. You're not guessing. So if you put two pipes down, you can run a board across the pipe, and they call that screeding, where you level, slide the board over the top of the pipes, level the sand down, and you're all set. But and then run that packer over the top of the pavers as well. And then what that does is kind of, you know, melds them all in together, and it gets that sand that you put over the top of it integrated into the joints. But, you know, at any time, like I say, look up at more of an architectural drawing rather than some person. It always seems like we get stuff from the Carolinas, you know. They don't even worry about frost. I mean, they have no idea what frost is down there, I think, except in their freezer. But, you know, they'll build right. They'll cut the sod off and start building where – you know, we don't, but right. Yeah. I'm flying here on this. So yeah, let's.
It's a subject that you love.
Yeah, it is.
All right, you can join the conversation with your questions at 866-780-9100. You can email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Nancy wants to know: once you have some pitting in concrete patio, is there anything that stamping or staining could disguise?
Well, yes, there is.
And again, with stamping, that's something that you do with new concrete. Yeah, so that's really not an option here.
Yeah, stamping is just for brand new. But you can, you know, like, and I hate to keep saying them, but Sacrete and Quikrete, they make really good materials that you can put over the top of the concrete. Like, and a lot of concrete has been damaged over the years. It may have pits, it might have spalling, might have been poured on a real hot day and the cream popped off the top. They have concrete resurfacing materials. And so what you do is you just super clean it, follow the directions on the bag, and you can put a coat over the top. And then you can stain that or dye that in any way you want. You won't be able to stamp it unless you're going to pour, like, say, 2 or 3 inches over the top of it.
And she's mentioning pitting. I mean, that's not going to change the texture, but it would change the look.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it. You know, you can just run a skim coat across top and make it smooth again. And sometimes, you know, Iowa, we just seem to think that the only way you're going to get ice off of your concrete is throw salt down, and anything with salt in it. And a lot of antifreezes have salts in them. So if you have new concrete, even concrete, you know, older concrete, you start throwing salt on it, it's going to take the surface off, and it's going to pit it, and it's going to ruin it. So you have to find de-icers without any salt in them, and it's just, you know, salt's cheap, so that's what, you know, we do, especially when money's tight. So if you start getting big pits and start getting some spalling on the top, you know, it's not the concrete. It's, you know, it's a person trying to, you know, keep from slipping. So,
well, I think we had to add that to our con list about not being able to throw salt on one of these.
Yeah, and some of the coatings they put down are kind of thick enough that you don't have that salt issue. But, you know, there again, whatever you put on the surface is you may put a sealer and then you could put an integrated grit into it. So that's something to talk to the person doing. Say, you know what, I'm 68 years old. I don't want to step off that step and then fall. So what can you add to give it some grit, you know, some surface abrasiveness? You know, there has to be something, and there is. And there's a lot of, you know, floor paints that I purchased in the past where they add the, you know, the sand, basically it's sand into it. So when you roll it out, you have that extra little bit of a grit.
Well, and I can see benefits to that too. Yes. I mean, not only are you then not going to have the problems when it's damaged, but that also gives you possibly better footing.
Better footing, yeah. And that's it. This, you know, the worst thing I ever did when I built my mom and dad's house in 1977 is dad wanted that concrete floor smooth, and I did, and mom had rugs everywhere because it was too smooth.
Right.
And in retrospect, you know, I shouldn't have listened to dad. I should have left it a little rough.
I think there's a lot to unpack there that we don't have time
for. Yes, there is.
Okay, we are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. He is ready to answer your questions about any of the home improvement projects in your life. It doesn't have to be a concrete question, but it can be. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. We've got a couple lines open for you right now. You can also email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa from IPR News.
It's when we clean mom's house.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We are talking about home improvement today. Bill McAnally is here and ready to answer your questions about any of the home improvement projects on your list. You can give us a call at 866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Let's go back to the phones. Bill is on the line in Coralville. Hi, Bill.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Something like a black algae that grows on the concrete driveway and sometimes on the sidewalks. And is there anything that I could use to get rid of that?
Yeah, go to, I always see it at our hardware store. I use a hardware store up in Minnesota all the time. It seems like that's where I'm at. They've got a mildew side spray that you can put on that. You can put it on the concrete, and you can put it on your shingles, because a lot of people will call sometimes, and you can put it on siding. And they keep it in the, not in the cleaning area, which is kind of funny. They keep it in the paint area usually. And so some of them are kind of aggressive. What I mean you may not want to have it when you apply it, be able to get on any vegetables or anything like that, you know, and might do something damage to your grass or whatever, or paint, you know, sometimes. So you really got to kind of sort through them. But I believe Zinser company also makes one, but a lot of them are just spray applied. You know, you just use a little pumper sprayer, you know, the 1 gallon ones, let it sit for a while, and then just wash it off with a garden hose. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because we see a lot of that issue when people run their sump pumps and they won't run it out to their sewer system. They'll run it across the sidewalk or their driveway, or they will run it down to out into the sewer gutter if you live in a town. And a lot of that will start building up. That algae will build up. And I know in the city of Fort Dodge, it's illegal to do that now because, you know, people have slipped and fell. So it depends where you're at. But so, you know, just try to get rid of that as often as you can with that mildew side. And some of them are very, you know, environmental friendly too. They have different types of mixes. So, yeah, that's what will take care of it for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the call, Bill. Next up, Imad in Des Moines. Hi, Imad. Imad, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, yes. Yeah, go on. What's your question? Oh, Imad, I think we're having a hard time connecting. I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to see if we can get a clearer connection there. Lisa's up next in West Branch. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
I'm looking at doing some sort of general housing rehab. I need to get my basement finished and a little water mitigation done there, and an addition that's going to affect the wall that would probably go over one of the walls that needs worked on. And it just sort of turned into, I need sort of an overall contractor to handle all the different, I'm not going to be able to round up all those different people who have to do the different kinds of jobs. And I'm having trouble finding anybody who can even talk to me for months.
You're not alone. And I tell you, you know, the guys that I talk with, you know, they might be able to talk to you, but they can't find any help, and right. They can't schedule. This one contractor friend of mine, she's, you know, luckily she's got, you know, long-term people, and she's very professional, and it gets right back to you. It just tells you, hey, you know, it's going to be a year. You know, and a lot of the contractors that I've talked with are a year out. And it comes back to, you know, the supply chain issues. You know, they're constantly running into that. There's, you know, everything you can think of that you've seen on the news. And so you may have to find a smaller beginning, you know, contractor.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's good. Sometimes it can be bad. You know, you want somebody that still has some experience. But you might be able to find someone just getting started that has a lot of ambition and they want to build up a name for themselves. And so, you know, if you're near a community college, you know, maybe they have a carpentry or building trades program, you can check with them, check with a high school as well. See if, you know, they have high school programs, maybe some of them are just getting started. But yeah, in your case, I would, you know, recommend, yes, you get a contractor to help schedule everything. And a lot of times, you know, that contractor is going to be able to leverage some power to be able to bring subcontractors there because they have a long-term relationship with, you know, plumbers, electricians, and whoever. But I would do that. And what I would recommend, too, is what we see a lot now is any, you know, you're talking, mentioning water and moisture in your basement. Even if you've never tested for radon, I really have seen that the advantages of a radon system in drying basements out, because the radon system, what they do is, you know, it's pulling gases, the radon gas away, so, you know, to help prevent cancer. But it's also pulling moisture vapor from beneath the slab and from around your foundation and taking it away. So it's drying the area underneath and around your basement. And so we see it a lot, and I get, you know, talk to a lot of my friends that are in that business of basement remodeling, how much drier the basement is, how much better living environment it is after you've put a radon system in. So I like calling them a moisture mitigation system. And so I would make sure you talk to the contractor about that too.
Okay. Yeah. Because I've got an old stone and brick foundation.
Oh, good. Yeah. 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 You'll really want to, you know, look at it. Yeah. Those are nightmare. They're just hard to find the right combination to take care of it. And in many cases, you know, I hate to say it, but if they're the old, you know, a lot of times you just, you know what, lift it up and put a new foundation under it, which in today's world, you know, we've seen prices on houses, so-called affordable houses, in the last year and a half or so go from, say, $160,000 to close to $290,000 for the same house, which is really scary.
Yeah, that is really scary. I mean, at this point, If it's something that can be put off, is that your advice?
Yeah.
Just put it off?
I would. Or at least until you can, you know, dial in that contractor. You know, if they're going to take a year, take the year. You know, spend this time doing planning and picking things out. Because you write down now what you want done, and I guarantee you, in a year from now, that list is going to look drastically different. Mm. You know, just from a year of change, and maybe your needs and wants.
All right, so this is the perfect time to do really deep planning.
Yes, it is.
All right, here's a question. I'm going to ask Imad's question because I think we were having trouble with his Bluetooth connection and it just wasn't working. But what he wanted to know was that when he drives into his garage in the wintertime, he has salt dripping off of his car, and it's creating pitting in his garage floor. Is there any way to prevent that damage?
Well, you know, the only really way to prevent it is, I don't know where he's getting salt if it's, you know, on the road. So if that's the case, he's just going to have to wash the car more often. Ugh. You know, and you hate to say, that. And then if you are running through a car wash, you're going to have to pay for the extra couple bucks to have the undercarriage done, because that's always the premium, you know, if that's your issue. A lot of people, when they build a house, they will put a floor or a drain. Of course, they'll put a floor in there, but they'll put a drain in the floor. And that sometimes you don't know. You always got to ask, well, where's that going? So you want to check with your local building inspector as to how that should be handled, is where that water net. But some people will do that, put that in, and it'll drain to that. Or a lot of people have gone, they sell mats. So they'll have like basically a big old rubber mat that you drive onto, and then that'll collect it and or aim it towards a floor drain. Or some have put a like a drum into the under as a floor drain basin, I guess, and then you can clean that out. You know, get the salt and whatever contaminants there are. There's a lot of ways to handle it, but you're gonna have to wash it, or else put that mat underneath it, because no matter what you put on the top, if you've got a lot of salt, it's gonna eventually take that surface off. It's sad. I wish we would come up with an alternative that's inexpensive, I guess.
866-780-9100 is the number to call. Bill is on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Bill.
Hey, a lot of Bills today. This is great.
Yeah.
I have a similar question about the garage floor. We just bought a house a couple of years ago and moved in, and I notice when it rains and when we bring in water, or in the winter when there's, you know, water and it drips off the car and it puddles in the garage, right? You know, it wouldn't be the biggest deal, but it's right where the driver's side door is, and you get out the driver's side door, and there's a big puddle to get in right there. So is there any way to level that off, or the cheapest way, would it be the epoxy coating flooring, or is there a better way?
They have a have they put anything on the concrete yet? I mean, is it just still the raw concrete?
Yeah, it's just concrete. The house was built 20 years ago, so
okay. Yeah,
you didn't do a good job leveling the floor when they poured it.
Yeah, well, I poured enough floor. I know where I've made all my mistakes. I try not to tell anybody about them, but yeah, you can. You know, they have floor levelers. You know, like there again, like Sacrete or Quikrete, they have. You can either follow their directions. You may have to grind that area. If it's a small area, it's not that bad. You can rent concrete grinders too. The big box stores rent them. They're fairly cheap. I mean, that's what I'm gonna do the next time I do my own garage floor. I'm gonna do it right this time, and grind the whole floor down. But you could grind that just that area. It looks like a little floor polisher. And put floor leveler across the top of it, and you'll always see that, because it's going to be a different color unless you paint the whole floor.
Yeah,
but
true.
But I would, that's what I would do. You can get small grinders. You know, you can have, and actually they make them 3 or 4 inch grinders. If it's not that big of an area, you get it ground down and put that floor leveler in. But I would do that. And you know what's kind of neat now is, you could then, if that's where you're always getting out, if nothing else, integrate some grit into that right where you're at. And I mean, it's kind of it seems like a belts and suspenders, but I hate to see it fall down. And I know my mother, what she always did is she went to garage sales, I think, and got all these floor mats from different people that, from cars and trucks. And then she put those down the floor where she walked so she wouldn't slip. But yeah, I'd put a floor leveler in there.
Bill, thanks a lot for the call.
Yeah, thanks, Bill.
Next up, we've got David in Modine, Missouri. Hello, David.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I'm building a 25x60 shop. I poured the concrete last November, and the building just went up this weekend.
Okay.
Now, in doing it, I probably should have put a coating on it first, but we didn't.
Okay.
Now there's caulking and the tire marks from the scissor lift.
Sure.
How do I get the caulking and the tire marks off of it so I can put, and what is a good sealer to put on it?
Well, so how long has the concrete been?
November.
Okay.
It's been in since November.
Well, they make different stain Removers for, you know, that you can buy basically from any store.
Okay.
And some of them you may have to almost, that almost comes down to like a tar remover. You see cans of that all the
right.
time.
Okay.
But I know you're from Missouri, but I would get a hold, right. go to the Iowa Ready Mix Association. And
okay.
and you can email them or call them and ask them this specific question, and they will they will tell you what product to use so that it doesn't the stain remover then doesn't stain your concrete, because that's a lot, you know,
right.
it would almost be worse, you know, were you cleaned, then you'd see this big patch of a different color.
I'd rather have the tire marks.
Yeah. at least it looks like something, right? So I would call the Iowa Ready Mix Association and ask them, and they'll be able to tell you exactly what you can use. Great people there. Really great people.
David, thanks a lot for the call.
That's a really good question. That's a question we run into all the time. Never.
Nice. All right, here's one from Carol. I have a commercial business with painted concrete floors. The paint is wearing off. Does the paint need to be sanded off before staining?
Well, it depends on if it's an oil or if it's a latex. You'll want to know what kind of paint it is. And, if you're going to do the whole floor or just patch, that you're kind of running in the same situation as myself when I just kind of put down a paint, basically, and it came up. So most of the time, you're going to have to sand that to get a good grit. But if it's a business, I might upgrade. I would have you upgrade to something a little bit better, and have a professional come in. But if money's tight, then just go ahead and clean it real good. Sand it and clean it, wash it down, let it dry very well, and then go ahead and recoat it.
All right. Richie sent us a multiple choice question.
Oh, boy.
It's a big one. So we'll see if we can fit it in here. A large portion of my driveway runs parallel alongside my house. The concrete pads, but right up to the cinder block foundation walls of the house for about 60 feet. There are two leaky basement windows and a tired expansion joint in that space as well.
Okay.
And every time it rains, I get water in the basement.
Yep.
I am currently sealing the inside walls with rubber paint, and I'm going to tear out and block up the windows. My question is, for the driveway, what do you recommend? A, trench drain alongside the house.
Ooh.
B, reseal the joint and call it good for a while. C, pour a curb along the house.
Well, I know what my friends would do. They'd pick B, but they'd just run a beat a cheap caulker on there and call it good for another year. What you really the best thing to do is cut that concrete out and put the curb, to keep the water away, because all the other options is the trench, and dig it out. You're still going to have water. So the curb would direct the water away. So ding, ding, ding.
Okay.
That's what I would go with.
Or a curb along the house. Now, I saw you make a face when I read rubber paint.
Yes.
You've got 1 minute, Bill.
Okay.
Tell him what he needs to know.
I would never do it on the inside, because you put it on the inside, the water is still there. And it's with hydraulic pressure, it's going to come somewhere. So you may seal that wall, and all of a sudden you look down the floor, now it's coming up there. Or if it isn't coming up, that floor is getting wetter. And if it's getting wetter and you have carpet down or you have rugs down, now you have more chance of mold. And the other thing I want to go back to quick was Bill, since when he has water moisture in that garage, we need to start looking. Everybody's garage in Iowa should have a ventilation fan to get the moisture out. Okay. I mean, I think that should be code. So if Dave Ruffcorn's listening, he's now the head honcho in the state of Iowa. Dave, we need to mandate this, baby. So get a vent fan to get that out. Get that moisture out of there. There we go. I love multiple choice. That was great.
All right. More multiple choice questions next time. I'll just make some up for you.
Okay.
All right. Bill McAnally, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me today.
Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally. He comes by just about once a month to answer your questions. Talk of Iowa is a production of IPR News. Our producers are Zachary Oren Smith, Matt Alvarez. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. You never need to miss an episode. Subscribe to our podcast, Talk of Iowa, wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, also look out for Garden Variety, our new horticulture podcast as well. This is Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbie.